I have a special word for you. And I know today's Super Bowl day, so happy Super Bowl. And I'm not going to prophesy this, but I'm going to tell you what I think. And you say, whatever, Pastor. Well, whatever. So I'm just telling you, I think Philadelphia is going to win. Philadelphia Eagles. Because I'm spiritual minded, and I see the Philadelphia church. It's one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and Sherlock talked to us about it. But the Liberty Bells right there. There was so much that happened in the beginning with our forefathers and in Philadelphia. And of course, the Philadelphia church it is talking about the book of Revelation was in Turkey, modern day Turkey. So also the eagle is our American bird. Don't you think the American birds ought to win? So I don't know. Just my thought. But anyway, you watch it, you see what you think. I don't know if you ought to watch the halftime show because certain things can happen. You know, you just never know. So anyway, it's going to be a good day. I want to say happy Valentine's Day to you too. God bless you. Thank you so much for my blessing. But happy Valentine's Day to you. May you have a blessed Valentine's Day. Well, and one more thing I want to say to you couples. Okay, again, this is found in Paulette chapter 2, verse 3. But, okay, I had no reason to watch it. And I had been seeing Fireproof advertised. How many remember seeing the movie Fireproof? And it's about this young man. He was a fireman. No offense, Sarah. But the man was a fireman. The woman was a medical worker in a hospital. And I started watching it the other night. I think it was Friday night. And I skipped across it. And I thought, I don't want to watch that. And that's not for me. I'm not married. And I looked at it. And I, you know, you get sucked in after you sit there a minute. And listen, you couples need to see it. Not because your marriage is falling apart. Your marriage is on the rocks. But I'm telling you, this young man, Kirk Cameron, plays the part. And he was, I'm not going to tell you about the whole movie. Don't you just hate it when people tell you that? You just sit there and listen 30 minutes to this movie and you don't even want to see it. So I'm just going to give you the highlights. So Kirk Cameron was a fireman. And yet, I don't have had anything to do with it. But there's so many people today, so many men and women caught up in pornography. They said that sometimes when they have a spiritual convention at these hotels, they'll have a higher amount of pornography on the TVs than any other time. That is such a shame. And so he was caught up in pornography. He couldn't get past it. And so finally he loses his wife because she's so humiliated that he's looking at all these fake women and images and it's just a mess and it's tearing them up. And he doesn't need her because he's got this fraud. And so finally she starts having an affair with some guy in the hospital. Well, now they're just really getting to be a tangled up mess. Anyway, long story short, finally he came to a place where he almost got burnt up in a fire and he took that computer outside and beat it with a baseball bat. It's the only way he thought he could get past the pornography is beat the thing up with a bat. And then he finds out she's having this thing. Did I tell you I wasn't going to tell you the whole thing? Shoot. So anyway, so her husband goes into the hospital, though he wasn't having, you know, he's not getting anywhere with her, but he's telling this doctor, you keep your hands off my wife. Don't you touch her. Don't you look at her. Anyway, this thing came back together through 40 days of him being kind to her with her brushing him off, saying, I don't want you to get out of my face. And she even served him divorce papers. So anyway, I'll stop right there to say, the end of the story, can I tell the end? They got back together. But you all already knew that anyway. But please, listen, couples, I'm just telling you, whether you need it or not, find it. You say, oh, it's a B movie. I don't know, B, C, D, E, A, whatever it is. Just watch it. It's just such a great movie. And the power of God was in it. He anointed it. All right, is that good? All right. So, all week long, the things that I'm going to give you this morning all week, it was just confirmed and confirmed. Even through that movie, it was confirmed, these things I'm going to tell you, because this man could not get past that pornography. And she couldn't get past this man giving her all these compliments, and now she's moving along with him. And so the whole thing was just a mess. It was just hopeless. It was just a big old mess. And so with that even, it helped confirm what I'm going to bring you today. Kathy, put up one of those pictures there. And this won't make sense to you, but we're going to go over to 2 Corinthians today. So because we're going there, I just wanted to show you this. We're going to 2 Corinthians. But this picture that you're looking at, that horrible brown building at the bottom, that is actually in St. Petersburg, Russia. And I just happened to see this on TV this week to confirm where we're going. And this part right here, I'm sure it didn't look quite like this then, but this was the stronghold that they put Paul and Peter in for preaching the gospel. And so you can just run the other one to show them how it's been remodeled, and they started building it again in 1700s, and they just work on it all the time. So it's a big tourist trap now to go to St. Petersburg and see where they held Paul and Peter. And so this is it. I just wanted to show you so we can take those pictures down. But it was a fortress for the city, and it had very, very thick walls. And a fortress, you know, especially in those days, they made a stronghold, which they called it a stronghold. It was a fortress, and they did it to keep the enemies out. It's kind of like America building the wall to keep the enemy out. But then when you find an enemy within your gates, then it was a stronghold. They could lock them up there. Well, they thought Peter and Paul was, bringing a false gospel, and they were false prophets, so they locked them up to keep them in away from the people. So a fortress can act as both, to keep the enemies out, or, if need be, keep the enemies in and lock them up. So what I want to say to you today is most people, see, Pastor, that's a big word. I know it is, but I've been in ministry now a long time, going over 40 years now, but most people have some kind of stronghold or a fortress in their mind that seeks to lock them up. And with those thick walls, whenever it becomes a stronghold in our minds, whether it's fear or worry or stress or jealousy or hatred or unforgiveness or sin, it could be any of the above, but it can lock you up in a prison cell all by yourself in your mind, and you do not know how you're going to get out. Now, I'm going to give you the word this morning on how to get out of a stronghold in your head. And you say, oh, it's just another, you know, it's just another formula. No, this is not a formula. This is by the word of God. In fact, I saw something real, it was just so good this week. I was flipping through the channels, and I've got about 30 Christian channels, and I went through God TV, and they were showing a clip of Billy Graham. When he first started his ministry, and his ministry just exploded, and thousands were coming in to see him, and the stadiums filled up. Nobody had ever seen anything like it. And so he got to London, and he had, forget the man's name. He would come up and sing Just As I Am Without a Plea. Remember that? Every single time. George Beverly Shea, he would come up and sing, Just As I Am, remember? And the people would just start pouring out of their seats and the bleachers and coming to the front. And so the mayor and the governor was there, and they made an appointment with Billy Graham, and they said, we will not have you feeding the emotions of the people. You've been singing that song, you've been here 30 days, and he started out the first night, second night, third night. He's still singing, Just As I Am. And it's a ploy. And when he starts singing, it excites their emotions, so they come down. So Billy Graham told George Beverly Shea, he said, hey, you're not going to do that song tomorrow night. Well, Billy, what are we going to do? He says, we're not going to do anything. We don't need music. He said, it's not the song, it's God's power. It's not the way you sing it, it's God's anointing. And so he said, they were interviewing Beverly Shea, and they said, he said, for 30 days, we did that meeting with thousands without the song. And the same thing happened. It was the glory of God that brought the people down. So you can have anything build up as a stronghold in your mind as it did them. They came against what the church was doing. This is what many in America did for the past 4 years. They came against everything that they could come against that was decent and in order. Or Billy Graham could have let that set up in his mind and said, they said, and then throw the song away anyway. It's what the devil would have liked. But it was still the anointing of God. So we could have all kinds of strongholds in our minds, but what happens, church, it will take us into this living in an emotional stronghold. When I was a young girl, about freshman in high school, I spent 3.5 years in depression. I don't know what it was, fear, anxiety. It was a stronghold. I mean, just a stronghold of fear. It was just the craziest thing that a sickness was going to come upon me. And that thing began to eat at me. I could hardly go to school some of those days. It was a stronghold. And you know how I got delivered? Now, what I'm going to give you, I told you, some might say, was that a formula? Well, it could have. It is a good formula, but I'm not giving you that. I'm just saying, how did I get delivered? Brother, my sweet brother, it was on a Wednesday night. I came to church. I was a senior in high school, beginning of the year, and I went to church that night, and whoever was there, I think it was my pastor, he said, somebody is here in the church, and you have been eaten up with fear and depression. But it's darkness, and it's causing anxiety, and it's telling you when you can go in and when you can go out, what you can do and what you can't do. You can't go spend a night with your friends. You can't do this. You can't do that because you have fear, and blah, 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 you know. And he said, I'm just telling you, you're listening to the devil, and if you will get out of your seat and walk up here right now, God will heal you. And you know what? Thank God. I was a smart little girl that didn't ignore that. My heart was tender. My heart was open to the things of God. And I got out in front of my friends. I mean, we're just sitting there writing notes. I didn't know what he preached about. We're just writing notes. But when he gave that invitation, I knew that was to me. And I got up and went down there. And he says to me, Paulette, have you ever seen this verse? And he turns over to 2 Timothy 1:7. And it said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but what? Power and a sound mind. Well, the love was good and the power was good. All that was good. And I was glad that he didn't give me a spirit of fear. But you know what struck me, brother, was that sound mind. I'm like, oh, whoo. When he said a sound mind, something went off in me like fireworks. You know what it was? It was the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And he came on me and his hand touched me and all that fear and depression. My pastor said this to me. He says, within 2 weeks, that thing will be totally gone. And within 2 weeks, it was gone. I could look at the TV and here was it was saying. People could tell me a joke and I would laugh. I would come back into it. And so if you're wondering why I have such a strong mind, it's because I almost lost it. And once you have lack and you come into a wealthy place, you'll do anything to keep that wealthy place wealthy. Don't you ever go back. Listen, church, I know what I'm talking about. I was there. So I can just tell you, you don't have to live a victim and live in a fortress like that or a stronghold for the rest of your life. Just don't do it. Don't even play with it. The best way I know to tell you this morning is if you don't want to fight with the devil, don't get in the ring with him. That's what happens to the church. People will just get out and he starts flirting with you. Things of the world will flirt with you. And you jump in and you play with the devil. And when you do, he catches you. And then you wonder, how come I can't get out of this mess? You got in a ring with him. Stay out of the ring. And I'll tell you what. Whenever you'll take this word this morning, every one of these strongholds start, listen to me, start with a lie. A lie that this is the way it's always going to be. Another lie that I've heard over and over and over is, I am not hurting anybody but me. Oh no, when you've got something hidden in you, baby, it hurts your whole family. They all have to deal with it because you are dealing with it. Or hopelessness. I just feel hopeless. The fortress there that you've built up. We could go on and on just thinking it'll never get better. I'll never get healed. I'll never be out of this financial rut. I'll never get out of this poverty mentality. Well, you can stay where you want to stay. But you don't have to, church. I'm just telling you. He made it to where we could get out. So if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll look at verse 4. And I know some of you are already turning me off here. Pastor, we've heard that preached a million times. Well, you're going to hear it preached a million and one times today. Now, I told you to go to verse 3, but I think we'll start with verse 1. Kathy, thank you. Listen, if you don't shut these strongholds down and get that thing out of you, now, we're going to have an opportunity today, but if you don't get it out, you're going to live a miserable life. And it could go on for a long, long time. I've often wondered, what would have happened to me if I had not been in that service that night? What would have happened if I thought, that's my pastor speaking? And it went through one ear and out the other. Well, it wouldn't have mattered at all. It wouldn't have helped me. All right, let me show you how to get a stronghold out of your head. All right, let's start with chapter 10, verse 1. And this is Paul's dealings. Listen, he knew what he was talking about. Now, I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, whom in presence I'm lowly among you. But being absent, I am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. And he says, when I'm bold, some say, oh, you're just walking in the flesh, Brother Paul. You're in the flesh. You need to get out of the flesh. But he straightens it up in verse 3. Look, for though we walk in the flesh, yes, we do. He says, yes, we walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty. This new King James translation says mighty in God. The old King James says mighty through God. Same thing. Mighty in God or mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, we have weapons that will pull down strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down arguments, old King James says, imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. There is so much there, church. We could probably preach this until Jesus comes. It's just so full. So Holy Spirit, help me now. Help me to do what I'm supposed to do. Bring this where I should and leave off what I should leave off. So how are we going to get the name of my message is pulling down strongholds, Brother Isaiah. Pulling down strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So how are we going to get these things out of our head? You say, easier said than done? No, not if you'll hear what the Word of God's giving us this morning. Listen, our minds, they have the ability. Our minds have the ability to dream up the wildest of things. Wild, unbiblical thoughts. Our minds can do that, and these thoughts will be about God. He's not hearing you. Yeah, he helped you back then, but he won't help you now. You don't even know if God is real. In fact, you don't even know if this book is real. How do you know? There's so many other gods in America, in the world. You know, well, they've got a God, we've got a God. And so the devil starts talking that kind of smack. And when he does that, then you're like, this is all coming against God. And then your thoughts get crazy about the devil. Everything you do, well, the devil made me do that. The devil put that thought in me. The devil did this. The devil did this. And pretty soon you're lifting up Satan. You're lifting up the devil, making him higher and stronger and more powerful than God. The only one that can help us. The Bible tells us to submit to God and resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. But I see many times that we will resist God and submit over here to the devil and think the thoughts that he would like for us to think. Now, he can't make you think it. He can present it to you. And then if you bite it off, like I said, get in the ring with him, then you're going to have to clean it up. Now, five times, Mr. Date says this, five times the words warfare warfare and war are used only five times in the New Testament. But listen to this. But it is never connected with the devil. Isn't that amazing? Warfare and war, he doesn't connect that with the devil. So I think what it's given us is a person, we've got to take control of our thoughts. I mean, when I'm in the middle of the night, all alone, and a thought comes to me to start worrying about or stressing out over, I start worshiping. I just start singing, I love you, Lord. Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. Just go ahead. Just sing a song. It doesn't matter what it is. Sing Amazing Grace. But I'm going to tell you, when you start doing that thought, what happens to the thought? It's gone. Don't let it set up housekeeping. Billy Graham's wife said this. She said, you know what? We can't keep a thought from passing over. It's like a bird. You can't keep a bird from passing over your head, but you can stop it from making a nest in your hair. So don't let a thought just sit up housekeeping and just stay right there, or it'll just totally take over. So we've got to take control of our thoughts by pulling down these strongholds with this word of God. Okay, let's look at this now. In chapter 10, verse 3, 2 Corinthians, Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after according to the flesh. He goes, I don't have a gun. I don't need my mouth. Billy Graham says, I don't need that song. I don't have secret weapons. I don't need to give you a piece of my mind, though I'd like to. You know, that because I need all I've got. So I don't need to be giving any of it away. Though sometimes we try that. But we may have all of these secret weapons. But we don't need any of them. Paul said, oh, believe me, I could use a bunch of them. But verse 4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare, us disciples, that are beaten down and trodden on and people trying to destroy us, he said, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means natural or in the flesh or natural, like things that you might choose to fight a battle with. They're not carnal, but they are mighty, mighty. That word means dunamis. Dunamis is like dynamite. You're powerful. Mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. These things have been given to his church to help us get these thoughts pulled down. And there it says, and it pulls down arguments. Did we read that? In verse 5, look at that. Casting down arguments and every high thing. Arguments, this Bible says arguments. The old King James says imaginations. So when your mind starts going off and you start imagining things, then you've got to pull it back. I remember a lady, a couple that used to come to the church, they had been in an argument. And so she had left the house and says, I'll just use this time to go to the grocery store. And they lived out in the country. Well, when she got home, she couldn't find her husband and couldn't get him to the door. And his truck was there in the park in the driveway. And so she knew he was there, but she couldn't get him out. Well, immediately this big imagination rose up in her mind. And she says, he's committed suicide. He has killed himself over me. He just got so upset because he had always kind of played that with her. But she said, I just thought, oh, no, I'm going to go in. He's laying there dead. I'm going to have to ask Pastor to do a service, and I don't know what I'll do. Did he go to heaven? Did he go to hell? She can just see it all. She's already thinking about the funeral service and all its imagination, and it just kept building and building. You know how that is? We all do that. It starts with just one little thought, and if we're not careful and get rid of it quick, it'll just build and build and build, and pretty soon it's so big, it's so messy. So finally he comes walking down the driveway. What are you doing? I took a walk. I just wanted to blow some steam off. I just walked. And she was so embarrassed. She had called her brother and made him take the windows off so they could go in. And she says, you go in. I can't bear to see it. We laugh about it. But that's how severe our imaginations can get. And so Paul says, if you will hear about the weapons that we use, and he goes, I'm in prison. And so he did know what he was talking about. He says, I have no carnal weapons to use. Mine are all spiritual weapons. And they pull down not only strongholds, but they cast down arguments and cast down imaginations. He could have imagined, I'll never get out of this place. God, I did something wrong 2 weeks ago, and you're going to kill me for that, so I'll never get out. What weapons was he talking about that were so powerful and so strong and like dynamite? I mean, it was like a spiritual hurricane. It was like a divine hurricane or an earthquake or a tornado that would come and just blow the whole city away. Well, when we get the power of God and we get these weapons through God. Listen, now don't be afraid and say, I can't do that. I remember thinking that. I can't do this. I can't get rid of these thoughts. I can't. No, but then I found out that this kind of action is taken through God. These things, these weapons come from him, through him, and for us. So I know you know it, but let's look over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let me read a little bit here. Finally, my brethren, if you're writing down or taking notes, write these certain words or underline. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. And how are these weapons? They're mighty through God. So we say it again right here. And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Just get all suited up, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I don't know how many of you know Rick Renner. But Rick Renner, oh my goodness, he's just a Greek scholar. And he wrote a book called Dressed to Kill. My mother used to see somebody all dressed up. She said, ooh, they were dressed to kill. I never knew what that meant. But with this armor on, we are dressed to kill, to take down strongholds, to take down the enemy, to tear those things up that's trying to tear you up. All right, look at this. So put on the whole armor that you can stand in the wiles against the wiles of the devil that Sheriff Mike was just talking about, all of these things. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, Paul is talking again. He wrote this. This is his letter while he's in prison still. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I want to say, are you kidding, Paul? You've got stocks around your ankles and you've got them around your hands and you're not wrestling against these 16 guards that are guarding you? No, he said, I don't have to wrestle against them, that flesh and blood, but I wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. They're all out there. The spirit of the Antichrist is all over. All the darkness of this age against a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, so he said, since you're doing all that, since this is where we are, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and done all to stand. Stand therefore, girded, having girded your waist with truth. Okay, underlying truth. The Bible calls, John called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. So he says, put this around your waist, your middle part that will hold you together. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, know that you're full of salvation. And so you've got a breastplate of holiness and righteousness that will keep you in God. Having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. If we put this gospel, knowing that Jesus came, he died, he rose from the grave, he went away, he's coming back. That is the gospel in a nutshell. So it says, put these shoes of the gospel upon your feet, because the gospel brings peace. Okay? Verse 16, and then it says, above all, the shield of faith. Now, there was a shield, and it went all the way around. Some just have this little shield standing in front. No, this shield that Paul's talking about went all the way around. And if you put your faith in God and what he can do and these weapons he has given us, they're all from him. So then that causes us to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And it said, above all, keep your faith and your focus in him. Not faith in your faith, not faith in somebody else's faith, but only faith in him. So that you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Always keep your helmet of salvation on. Some people, you go to work, maybe you take your helmet off when you get to work. You want to go out to that party with somebody, you take the helmet off. No, keep the helmet of salvation on you. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is what? What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the word of God. So we have the word in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and all supplication of worship in the Spirit. Be watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. All the saints. So there are seven things there. You can count them later. I'm just going to leave you with that. We're not preaching on the armor of God today. But I'm just telling you, he has given us these things. He has given us the gospel, his word, prayer, salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and faith that would keep us. And it's much stronger than any imagination that can come up in your mind. There's all kinds of imaginations, from worry to fear to oppression, depression, worried about your loved one, worried about this or that. Any thought that goes unattended and is unapproached by these things right here, it'll take over and it'll be telling you where to go, when to go, don't go, stay here. Listen, I had a friend one time, and she told me years ago that she was afraid to drive over an overpass. My girl, how are you going to get anywhere? I knew another lady in the church, and she told me she could drive over a canal or drive over a bridge, over a river. She couldn't drive over a bridge. But if that becomes a stronghold, what are you going to do? We know a great father of revival, a great man of God. I'm not going to call his name because I don't want to discourage you. But he's a wonderful man of God, and God has used him in the greatest of revivals. And yet, he will not fly. He's afraid to fly. Well, I don't break anybody up for those things because I had fear myself, and he won't fly anywhere. He'll get on that big bus, though, and travel all over. And many have prophesied to him that he would be the father of revival. And yet others would laugh and say, how could he be the father of revival? He can't even fly in an airplane. But you see, these strongholds can come to any one of us. Nobody is too spiritual to get a stronghold in your mind. No one's too spiritual for that. We all get some kind of stronghold that tries to come against us now and then. All right, let's go on back. Let's go back over to where we were in 1 Corinthians. And I'll start to close with this, because I know you men have to go home and get the barbecue grill going. So just remember that these weapons he's given us, they have nothing to do with us. Every one of these things that I just read to you are from the Word of God. And I want to go on and tell you a few other, seven other things, and we could pull off so many. You got to leave so many out. But yesterday morning, I woke up at this immediately. I mean, it starts coming to my mind that the Word of God, we have been given the Word to help us in any situation. And whenever you can outclothe that thought, whenever you can put a word in, that thought starts coming. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. The bad thought comes. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You say, well, it's a simple verse. If the only verse you know is the shortest one, Jesus wept. Well, you just say, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And he wept over me. He's my intercessor. He prays for us. Sometimes I just have to say, Jesus, pray for me. Would you just pray for me? Well, that's what he does. Right there in front of the Father. So we have been given first salvation when we met him. So he gave us his salvation. How? By his blood. So we have salvation. We have his blood. We have his name. He's told his disciples, as long as I've been here with you, you've not done this. But he said, when I go away, you are going to ask the Father in my name. And you know your children can use your name. And you know the president's children use his name. Queen Elizabeth's children and grandchildren and all of them use her name. But Jesus said, oh, no, no, use my name. It's more powerful than any of those. So when these thoughts, the imaginations, start to build and build and build, then you go back to the Word, just get a piece of the Word and read it. Or you can start saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You don't know what else to say. In the name of Jesus. That name is above every name that is named. The name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood, the blood. The blood has dispersed devils. Have you heard stories? How people have had an encounter and just the blood caused them to run. The blood. Hallelujah. You're talking about dynamite. The Word of God. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says we have the mind of Christ. Woo! That's a good one. You have to argue with yourself to say, no, 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 no. I do have the mind of Christ. Well, you're worried about that. Well, I don't care. I still got the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I plead a blood over my thoughts. Oh, no, that imagination. No, the arguments, forget about it. I'm not arguing with you. I don't have to. I'm going to leave you talking to yourself because my weapons are not carnal. I don't need carnal weapons to fight the fight. I have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. He said, I will give you, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, he has given us the spirit of our Father. John said, he is the spirit of truth. What was the first piece of armor that Paul told us to put on? To gird our waist with truth. And John said, he is the spirit of truth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he's given you the spirit of truth. By his own love, to pull down, the pull down, let me give you the definition. To pull down means to demolish, to dismantle, to tear down completely, to destroy until there is nothing left standing. And remember, church, all of this is through God. It's not through you. You don't have this kind of power. But God has it. And we've seen houses and communities burnt by fire down there in L.A. I mean, just entire neighborhoods burnt by fire. But God says, I'm wanting you to demolish, destroy, tear down, dismantle, make it disappear as though it never happened. And if you will use my word, it will be a dynamo. It will be dynamite. It will be a spiritual fire that will burn that thing out. But we must hear what the word of the Lord is giving us this morning. Amen, church? Amen. So we pull them down so they don't dictate to us what we're going to do and hold us captive. If these thoughts can hold you captive. They will hold you as long as you will stay. If you will stay and not say anything, they will just love you, and they will bug you, and they will tie you up, and they'll torment you, but you feel like you're too bound to ever get out of that situation. Let me tell you, you are never too bound that the Spirit of God can't deliver you. I'll tell you that, church. And then, like those pictures we saw, the thick walls go up around you. Man, you won't let anyone near you. You become like a porcupine because you've got these thick walls. You don't want anyone to know. You know, I heard a movie star say the other day, I don't want to get too close to someone. I don't want them to see the real me. Excuse me? You are the real you. You're it. There's only one of me. There's only one of you. And I can't please any of you. And I'm not going to try to. You don't have to try to please me. Paul said, look, I've got others out here telling how great they are. He said, I'm not in competition with them. If we wanted to read on down, we could see that. He said, they don't do anything to me. He said, I'm not going to compare myself with them. And he said, furthermore, don't compare yourself to others. And he who compares, listen to this, he who compares himself with himself is not wise. You know why it says that? Because we're wishy-washy. One day you're all, woohoo! The next day it's, oh man, it's another day, another dollar. He said, don't even compare yourself with yourself because you don't know. But with this said, church, all these lies, he said, I want you to take it out. There used to be a little anorexic girl, and I'm closing, in town. You've probably seen her walking through town. Though she wears jeans, I haven't seen her in a long time. She's probably not even around anymore. You see these little jeans, she probably wore a 0000. And her little legs, you could see those jeans just flopping all over her little legs. It was like they were bones. And a lady that worked in the hospital told me that she thought she was fat. And they would take her anything in the world that she could eat. Bring me some grapes and ice cream. And they would go back. A little tiny bite was taken off of one grape. The ice cream looked like the spoon was just dipped in ice cream and licked off. Because she looked in the mirror and thinks she's fat. A stronghold. A stronghold. Don't let anyone put you in a stronghold. Your husband, your wife, people's ignorance, their stupidity, their words, what you grew up hearing in your home. It just, God said, what's that to me? I have no rival. I have no equal. I've given you these things to help you. So what are we going to do? Oh, God, there's so much here. Cast down arguments. Look, I've got to finish with this. Every high thing that itself exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity. Okay, you put the thought in captivity. The thought does not put you in captivity. See, it put me in captivity. Until my pastor introduced me and the anointing came and it came over me and delivered me because of the word of God. And then I took that thought into captivity and brought it into the obedience of Christ. Now it says every thought that lifts itself, look what it says, every high thing, that means every high thought that exalts itself against God. So God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you say, this thought comes and says, you're not as good as everybody else. No, you don't talk like them. You don't look like them. You don't act like them. That person don't like you. They don't like you. Your husband doesn't love you. Your wife don't love you. All of these things, they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You are a beautiful person to him. Any of these things that come to say anything else, it's just an arrogant thought. It's very arrogant, and it's against God. And he has told us, don't do this. You're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And if you want to be dressed fit to kill, well, we got to get dressed, church. Come on, stand on your feet with me today. He said, just punish disobedience and bring it into the obedience of Christ. Amen. Well, Father, we praise you today for this wonderful day. I pray, Lord, that every heart was open to you. I prayed that 4 o'clock this morning, the hearts and minds. The mind can be open, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Some have heard this today, and they're already saying, that's good, but I don't know that that can happen to me. Well, it can't if you will just take the advice of God and his word. I mean, I didn't even mention praise and worship and so many other things and the peace of God. But you're not going to have any peace as long as you've got strongholds like that. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, you know I'll do anything for you. But I could anoint people with oil right now. Until they are just so oily, they'll just light out the door. But Lord, it is by your power and by your strength and by our actions. Now, if anyone wants to be free today, they're going to have to take this word, receive it, and act upon it. These 5 times that warfare is mentioned in the Bible is not tied to the devil, it's tied to us. I've been given you, Paul said, you've had these weapons, these mighty weapons to the pulling down of strongholds. How many would lift up both hands right now and say, Lord, help me. Come on, let everybody in here. Everybody, don't act like it's not you. We all do it. Father, help us to pull down every stronghold. Help us to be mindful of these words that you have spoken today. They were very heavy. They carried weight. They carry your glory. Not because I said it, but because the word said it. Not even because Paul said it, but because your word said it. So Lord, may we replace every evil thought, every worrisome thought, every sinful thought, every hateful thought, every degrading thought, every self-loathing thought, and every silly imagination. May we cast them down by the glory of God and the word of God this day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would somebody praise him this morning? Could you just give him praise? Hallelujah. God, I remember how it was. It was a bad deal. It was a bad 2 years for a young girl that I suffered, but your word delivered me. And I believe it helped me for such a time as this so I can help others. And I pray that this word has helped some people in this house today. Lord, bless us and keep us and cause your face to shine upon us and upon our marriages and our homes and our finances and our minds, soul, body, and spirit. May you be gracious to us. Turn your beautiful countenance toward us and let us shine in our community when we really must shine in this day of darkness. Make us a light to the world because our minds are free. Because, Father, if our minds aren't free, how are we going to tell anyone else? It'll just be a fraud. It'll just be a lie because we don't have that peace. We don't have anything, and they'll see it. But when our minds are free, there will be an anointing to get somebody else free. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you all. Thanks for being here today. Happy Valentine's Day. And the Lord bless you and keep you. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.